This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hi, welcome to Geek and Sassy. I am your host, Jennifer Smith, and here with the wonderful and radiant Miranda. Say hi, Miranda. Hi.
Those are lovely words there. Thank you.
Well, you're a lovely person.
I can be.
You are to me.
Always. Not always, always to you. That's different.
Because I'm special.
You are special.
I am the geek to your sassy.
Pretty much. Well, we're both.
We're flippant?
I don't know. Well, there's days where you're the geek to my sassy, and then there are days where I'm the sassy to your geek. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Right. This is why we make a good team.
That's why we're geek and sassy. And
exactly.
Both of us.
Interchangeable.
Yes, at any given moment.
or you know, simultaneously.
That is possible. Yes, I like that option. I like that option.
Why not both?
Right? Do we need to go back to the episode where I said, but why, the whole time?
We will be saying that a little bit later, I think.
Probably.
So I know that we wanted to talk a little bit about Guardians of the Galaxy because we saw that earlier this month.
We did.
We saw it together with a group of friends. And we knew it was going to be awesome, but I don't think that we knew it was going to be that awesome.
I got ridiculed because I told someone that as much as I loved the first one, I loved the second one more.
Yeah, it surprisingly, I think a lot of people had that reaction. It's really, really hard to narrow that down.
And it's really hard to put my overall emotions into words and not get emotional.
Right. It was highly emotional.
It was. And I know that some people are going to be like, oh, well, yeah, at the end of the day, yeah, it hit you in the feels, but it was just a movie. No. It went so much deeper than that for me. And it really, like, you can ask, Jenny had to, like, hold my hand. I was crying pretty bad at one point, so. Mm-hmm.
I felt bad for you. I really did. Well, because I knew why you were upset.
Well, it's like I told our friend Kelly, it was one of those, like, cathartic release things. And it, like, I didn't know that was going to happen. So it was one of those, like, I think it was a genuine, like, let it out. Mm-hmm. Because I mean none of us really knew what was going to happen in the movie,
right,
but at the moment, which I feel like at this point, if they hear us talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, if you want to skip ahead maybe a few minutes if you've not got to see the movie yet and you don't want to be spoiled by anything,
yes,
you can go ahead and skip ahead just a little bit. If you hear the words Rocket, Groot, Yondu, any of those, just keep skipping.
Also crying, sobbing.
Jenny was consoling. Yeah, if you hear any of that, just keep skipping. Right. But at the moment when, you know, the big bad fight scene is going down towards the end there, and a very specific song came on. And the sad part is that I can't remember the name of the song, but it's one of those, like, you know that song when you hear it. Like, with any song, I'm just giving an example. Like, you know how a song comes on, you're like, what is the name of that? And then it comes on, and you're like, I know that song, and you know every word to it, and it's attached to a memory usually, but you can't remember the name of it. So that's where I was at, and this song came on, and it's in the middle of the big bad fight scene where you realize for the first time that essentially Yondu was Peter's dad. Right. I mean, he really was. Like, he raised him, he took care of him, he cared for him. Mm-hmm. And you realize at that point that Yondu's probably not making it.
Yep.
Like, it's not to the point yet where it's for sure, like, he's not But as an adult in your gut, you know this is probably not going to go well. It's not a kid's movie. So, no, he's not going to, like, magically not die. Like, you know it. And this song came on that a friend of my dad's chose and asked my stepmom to play during his memorial. Not his funeral, but his memorial while we were doing the slideshow. Mm-hmm. And for the love of everything inside me, I lost it like the biggest baby you've ever seen in your life, because it was a mixture of having that moment that, like, I knew how Peter felt, because he realized in that moment too that he didn't need this man that was biologically his father. He needed the man that was his father, and he was fixing to lose him. Because my dad is biologically not my father. And right. Everyone in our group, we took up two whole roles, could hear me crying.
Yeah.
I think the whole theater was crying.
Well, everybody else was crying too.
There were a lot of people crying. I mean, we had my son with me. He was crying. Not for the exact same reason I was, but it hit me on, like, Marvel, you just squashed me hard, but in a good way.
Right.
And I didn't know. Like, I knew you could connect to a character, and I knew you could connect to a movie, and I knew that for some people, like, that is their life, that you can connect, like, super hard. But I think until that moment in my life, even being, you know, 32, I don't think I've ever connected so hard and so emotionally with something that was on screen before.
Wow.
I really don't think I have.
That's high praise. I mean, that's what they do it for. I mean, that's what we go to the movies for. Even a superhero movie now, you know, that's part of the experience sometimes, like with Logan, you know, had that same sort of
powerful.
I cried
pretty hard in Logan too, but not like I did it.
Right. But it was like it was kind of like it was written to Miranda in this situation.
Pretty much. It was like, wait a second. I'm realizing for the first time that Yondu is his dad. He's his, you know, as for, you know, you always see those shirts and stuff that, you know, any man can be a father, but it takes a real man to be a dad or a daddy or whatever. And I realized in that moment that Peter Quill was having that moment. And I was like, damn you, Marvel. Have you been listening to private conversations of mine?
Damn you, James Gunn.
That was rough.
But outside of the emotional beats, it basically had everything else,
it
too.
It really, really did.
Pretty much the perfect movie.
Yes.
So funny. Just I cried with laughter.
Yes. Well. You know, Candace,
Baby Groot is just
Baby Groot
everything.
Is... And I know Groot has to grow up, but I kind of want, like, just a baby Groot video.
Yes.
You know how when he kind of, like, takes off to the side, and you're like, what the crap is Groot doing? I want a video of what Groot was doing when he kept taking off by himself. And I know the entire video is pretty much going to be like, I am Groot. I am Groot. And I'm okay with that, I think.
It was fantastic.
Kaden is still running around going, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Chris Pratt was so surprising in all of his scenes with his quote unquote dad, and you know that little scene that they had when they were throwing the baseball—not really baseball, but
that was—I was like, oh, God.
That was right in the feels. And it looked cool. All the action looked so cool.
Everything looked really, like, visually, it was probably one of the more pleasing movies I've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah. The scene where they break out of prison, Yondu and Rocket break out of prison.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing.
I kept going, ooh! Ooh!
Yeah.
Ooh!
Fantastic. I loved it. I loved it so much. I seriously doubt it's going to top Wonder Woman for me, but it will be probably.
I have high expectations.
Right up there.
Yeah, I have. I feel like Wonder Woman will probably. I don't know. just because on the personal emotional level, I don't know that Wonder Woman is going to be able to outdo the second installment of Guardians here. But I'm sure it's going to be a completely phenomenal movie.
Oh, yes. All right. So, if you haven't seen Guardians, just totally. Even if you didn't even see the first one, it doesn't even just.
No, you could totally go see the second one.
Freaking go see it. It's awesome. Do we want to talk about what we've been reading?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. What have you got?
So I have been hitting that goal pretty hard that I have made myself on Goodreads. I am at 41 of 50.
All right.
I may increase it after I hit 50.
You might have to.
Well, just to see if I can do the second, you know, like the second half of the year, because pretty much, if you think about it, if I made 50 by the first 6 months of the year, can I do 50 more in the next 6 months? I don't know. Especially with working now.
Well, that's true.
But, so the last two that I just finished, one is from a series, ongoing series that I've been reading. And I briefly, it was one of my honorable mentions, I believe, when we were picking, you know, favorite book series a few episodes ago. And it's Spells and Scones, which is part of the Magical Bakery Mystery. This was number 6, and it's by Bailey Cates. And this one, she is a practicing witch. And in this one, she also runs a bakery. And in this one, there's an author that comes to town and sets up at the bookstore that's next door to her bakery. She caters it. And during the event, like at the very beginning of the book, the author is murdered, like in the back of the store, which that's in the synopsis. So no, people, I'm not telling you what happens. it's in the back of the store, and the whole time they're trying to figure out basically how exactly did they, you know, make this happen, and who is at fault here, and the whole time who you think is at fault isn't, kind of threw me off because I thought I had this one figured out. And then at one point, the person that actually did it, I did suspect that person for a minute and thought, oh no, there's no way. So I was kind of surprised at the end. And then the whole time that story is going along, since it is a series, because something different happens in each book, but because it is a series, it's going through the life of Katie, that's the witch. And towards the middle half of the book, something happens that, because it's book 6, I've been like waiting for it to happen. So I kind of did a, yeah!
Don't you love it when that happens?
I do. It makes me very happy. So that one was pleasing. But the problem with reading books in a series like that is, and I understand for authors, it's really, really hard. But as a reader, you're kind of like, okay, could you be done with book 7 now? Like, I'm going to need 7. Let's go. I'm outwardly a patient person, and inwardly I'm going, oh my God.
Yes.
Do you really need to edit it anymore? Just give it to me. Just give it to me. I don't care. I'll edit it for you as I go. Just give it to me. That'd be great. And then the other book I finished, I actually found out about this book. I don't know how. I didn't know it existed. It's like right up my alley. It's historical fiction in the sense that a lot of the events that they discuss, the main event that they discuss is real. The people that they discuss are real, but obviously the whole story itself is fictional.
Okay.
Because some people, you know, when you say historical fiction, they look at you and they're like, well, how can it be historical in fiction? So if you're
it's a genre.
It is a genre. And if you're not huge into reading like Jenny and I are, it is a whole genre, and it, usually focuses around an event. So this one focuses on the witch trials, and it's called How to Hang a Witch. And what I found is like one of the most fascinating things. I'll tell you the author's name and see if it makes you go, ah! So the lady that wrote it, her name is Adrina Mather.
Is she a descendant of one of the Salem witches?
She's a descendant of Cotton Mather, the one that he was the preacher at the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, she is a descendant of Cotton Mather.
Okay.
And when she started, she researched her heritage and started looking into things and did tours and travels and, you know, going back to Salem. And, you know, she got very interested in it. And she was like, you know what? I want to write kind of like a fictional story that's taking place now. And the girl in the book is in high school. And she is a descendant of Cotton Mather. And something happens to her father. And her stepmother have to move to Salem, which she's never lived in. She's never even been allowed to visit Salem growing up.
Huh.
Yeah, she was not allowed to. So they're moving into her grandmother's house because her grandmother's passed. And they're moving into her grandmother's house while her father is in the hospital. And things start to happen because now a Mather's in town and she goes to school with all the descendants, and they actually call them the descendants. Like, they're known as being the witchy descendants, and it basically starts with when she gets there, nobody really wants her to be there. They don't like her. I mean, you're a Mather. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. hate you. You caused this problem. Mm-hmm. And then she goes through a lot, and in the end, when you learn who the big bad is, it is definitely like a, whoa, Mother Trucker, I didn't see that.
Awesome. That actually does sound interesting.
It was really good. And it may be classified as a YA, but I didn't feel like it was a YA or a middle grade. I mean, there's nothing, you know, I mean, you guys know I love my smutty stuff. No, there's nothing like that in there.
Well, I'm not reading it then.
No, you just kidding. You just really, really like it. But it is, it's really good. It's really, I found myself like not wanting to put it down because I wanted to know what was going to happen next. I was really into trying to finish that as quickly as I could.
Awesome.
So it's
What was her name again?
Adriana. It's A-D-R-I-A-N-A. So it's like, it's spelled Adriana kind of.
Adriana.
Right. But she read the book herself on, Audible, and she says Adrena. So
okay. Well, speaking of Audible, I finally got the third book and maybe the final book. I don't know. I haven't finished it yet. I had talked about it a couple of times, maybe one time. Expeditionary Force,
yes,
by
I was
Craig Allenson. Mm-hmm. This is the third book called Paradise, and it just continues the story of Colonel Joe Bishop. They have been, it's an alien invasion book in the beginning, and then it turns into kind of a Star Wars kind of book in the second one. And then in the third one, they've had to come back to Earth, and he's gotten in trouble for all the decisions that he's made while they were out Star Wars-ing. They are having to go back out to deal with another problem. And all along the way, the whole series could do with some editing, just because there's a lot of the same, like, literal speech, like from Joe, not from Joe as much, but from the alien AI, which they name him Skippy, or they call him Skippy. He just is very disdainful of the human race in general, but has a special connection with Joe because Joe is the one who rescued him, and they have a very unique relationship, and it's very funny. The AI, even though he does tend to recycle some of the same stuff, it gets a little bit wary, but it's still funny. Like, he can still come up with stuff that will surprise you. And I'm just kind of started this one, the third book, so I've not gotten that far yet, but I'm all in on this. It's different. It's nothing like I've ever read before. And it can get bogged down a little bit in the alien political side, the military side, But Joe is a military person, so that you're seeing it through his eyes anyway. So you kind of have to go with that. And it doesn't bother me. I actually like that. I actually like hearing about the strategic way that Joe thinks about it and the non-traditional way that Joe tries to fight. He's just literally some Joe in the army and has
so
just...
Is his name Joe or they keep...
His name is Joe Bishop.
But it is playing off the fact that he's an—he's like just another Joe.
He's just, yeah, he's just okay. Like a, he's not, he's special in a way that he is, he thinks about things differently than apparently most people do. And he can come up with these quick solutions, like in the heat of battle or things like that, things that everybody else would be like, why would we even try this? And then they try it and it works. So I don't want to say idiot savant because he's not. He's just, he has situational awareness and he's very, very good at it. And really his real rank is still kind of like a sergeant. But because of all these extraordinary circumstances, he's made his way up to colonel. But he hasn't earned the respect of that title from a lot of the people in the military. So that's just another little obstacle in with the whole rest of the story. I'm not explaining it very well, but it's very awesome. I really like the narration. I always forget the guy's name that reads that, Ray something. But anyway, try that one out.
Did you say 3 is the final, or you think 3 is the final?
I think 3 just came out, the end of last week. I haven't got to the end yet, so I don't know if they're going to cliffhang me or not, but I haven't seen anything yet about a fourth one. And to me, I think a trilogy is probably what we need to do here. Like, you need to start wrapping up some of this stuff, because like I said, some of it gets a little repetitive. Just for me, like, it's not horrible. It's just noticeable, I should say.
Right.
And on the comic book side, I have been reading so many comic books. You know, have we talked about the Hoopla app before?
Yes, because
on the show?
You okay. talked about it, and then I said, oh, I don't have that. I have Overdrive.
That's right. So this Hoopla app is like revolutionized my life. Seriously, if you have a library card, and hopefully I've actually seen a lot of things where people have said my library doesn't participate, and apparently it costs a lot to get it implemented.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you is why our library does not participate, because I had mentioned to them participating in Hoopla, and then about a year later, or maybe not even a full year, they came to me and they said, well, we didn't get Hoopla, but we want you to try Overdrive.
That's right. So just through Hoopla, like not even my own trade paperbacks or weekly comics, I get 5 books a month and I just tore through them. I read the second volume of Detective Comics, which I was really looking forward to because I loved the first volume, and it was so good. Just awesome stuff. Like, just read it, seriously. It's so awesome. Same thing with Action Comics, which it was the second volume of that. So I'm slowly catching up on reading a few of the things that I've not read week to week on Rebirth, Action and Detective being 2 of those. Action was awesome too. And, you know, I'm slowly beefing up on my Superman. Superman has a lot of history. So, you know, I'm not all the time exactly for sure what's happening when there's like 3 Supermen in a book, which is happening.
Yeah, because there's like Superman and then there's Bizarro and then there's, yeah.
Not even Bizarro, just like the Lex Luthor version and,
right.
And this mystery one that nobody knows who he is.
It's kind of like the Spider-Man world. There's a lot of Spideys.
Right.
And if you're just jumping into it for the first time, you're going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's kind of how I am a little bit, but I'm slowly getting to where I can to understand it. And I feel like in the third volume, some of that stuff might be cleared up for me. But I still really like the second volume of Action. And then there was All-Star Batman Rebirth.
Yes.
I read the first volume of that, which I've seen a lot of good things about it. Holy shit. That book is amazing. And, you know, I like my Batman with some people don't like to see Batman do the things that I like to see Batman
Jenny
do.
Jenny likes her comics like I like my novels.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the sexy side. It was the violence side.
Well, she likes that too.
It was just, oh God, Batman had a chainsaw at one point.
Yeah!
It was just this loosely. Batman and Two-Face are on a road trip trying to get somewhere, and he keeps escaping, and like he's, he has this threat hanging over Gotham, and so Batman's trying to get him to this place, and I'm trying not to like say the whole story, but there's people after them, bad guys after them on the road, and they keep having to, Batman keeps having to like keep a hold of Two-Face and not let him escape, and then also fight the bad guys that are chasing them, which some of them are just normal people that will try to beat up Batman. It's crazy. And the artwork is stunning. Stunning. I think the artist is John Romita Jr. Oh my God. I've never seen anything like it. His Two-Face is incredible. Just Google it real quick. It's awesome. And then another character, which I've never read anything about, KG Beast. First time I've ever read him. Holy shit, he's badass. He was decapitating people left and right. It was cool as hell. I was freaking out. I fell asleep with this, because I read it on my laptop, which is also doubles as a tablet. So it's like this huge screen, which makes it even cooler to read. And I'm just like, no, don't sleep. Don't sleep. And I woke up like 2 hours later with the laptop in my lap and just like slumped over the couch. like I was so into that book. It was awesome. Anyway, read All-Star Batman. And that's by Scott Snyder. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to try some older stuff, 'cause I still had two more rentals, and I debated a couple of things, and then I ended up reading The Death of Superman, which I've not read anything from that era before. So it was interesting. And I'm not really sure how I feel about that book. I don't know. I'm going to have to let that one sit for a little while. And then I started Funeral for a Friend, which is the follow-up for that, too. It's pretty good. Anyway, so weekly books. Last time I talked about the Batman and Flash crossover, The Button. Mm-hmm. That got wrapped up with Part 4, Flash number 22, which has an awesome cover. And I've seen some reviews where some people thought that there was not as much information given as they would like. There was some criticism that it wasn't what it was billed to be, which was Batman and Flash investigating the mystery of the button from the initial Rebirth one shot. And I could see their point a little bit, but there are so many emotional beats, especially on the Batman side and then on the Flash side, that I feel like that's what they were doing I don't have any problem with not knowing more than I know about the button, because they set up this amazing doomsday clock thing that's supposed to happen in November. But I'm trying to think of a way to word it. Batman and Flash, they have the same sort of, which I talked about last time, they have the same sort of, you know, issues with losing their parents. Mm-hmm. And so there's this connection for them. And I think that's what makes me want to read them together. And also they're very scientific minded, I think, is a way that I look at it. But they're in the Speed Force. They're trying to get back. Oh, she's like, wrap it up, Jenny. Nobody cares.
Well, now we have people moving in across the street, and she's like, oh, who are you? What do you have? And why the hell ain't you talking to me? Hey, yo.
Anyway, we see this will have some spoilers in it, but we see the Reverse Flash get killed again, which we had already kind of seen happened in the first one of these. But he gets killed seemingly for real, because he gets killed by Dr. Manhattan. And then they come across Jay Garrick in the Time Force, and then in the Speed Force, and then he supposedly gets killed as well. And at the end of the book, Bruce is this is the part that kind of sealed it for me. Bruce is reflecting on some of the things that his father told him when they saw him, and some of those things were him trying to convince Bruce to not be Batman anymore. He tells him to find happiness and don't do it for me and don't do it for your mother. Let the Batman die with me. And there's this really cool page, nine panels in the Watchmen style, where Bruce is just standing by the window and he sees the bat signal and he just stands there and he's thinking about the things that his father has told him. And then Alfred's like, are you going to answer it? And they kind of don't show him going off being Batman. So I thought it was very cool. And then at the end, they show Dr. Manhattan pick up the button, and then they have the button's kind of floating through space, and then it shows Superman's shield. So this is all supposedly setting up Doomsday Clock, which is going to be the Watchmen and Superman. But it's going to be awesome, with Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. So I think it's cool what they're doing, like beginning with the Rebirth one shot, doing this little four-parter, and then coming in and doing what they're doing with Doomsday Clock. It's kind of like a story within a story. It's kind of like the thread that pulls all of Rebirth together. And then you get these just, that's why it didn't really bother me that the mystery wasn't really solved. We don't know more than we know, because there's more to tell. Like, I think Jeff has more of a story to tell, and that's why he's doing Doomsday Clock. And there's a really great article that came out when he announced Doomsday Clock that was just fascinating. So honestly, anything Jeff Johns does, I'm going to read. So
that's another one. You can't go wrong.
I'm just jabbering on and on, but I only have two more that I wanted to talk about. Just briefly, have you read any Swamp Thing? Or do you know anything about Swamp Thing?
I know what you're talking about, but no, I have not read it.
I don't know anything about Swamp Thing, which is kind of good, because Batman 23 is sort of like a standalone issue. It's called The Brave and the Mold, which is an awesome title.
That is pretty funny.
Tom King and Mitch Gerads. It has a really cool kind of noir kind of feel to it, especially in the beginning. But it shows somebody get murdered. It shows Batman and Commissioner Gordon at the crime scene. And they're talking about how he was kind of like a nobody and why did he just get shot like execution style. And then Swamp Thing just shows up out of nowhere, scares the crap out of Gordon. It's hilarious. Batman reacts. He doesn't even turn around. And Gordon's like, you see what's happening? Like, you know him? Or, okay, I guess so. It's really funny. Like, there's some unexpectedly funny stuff in this. And then it shows Swamp Thing and Bruce back at the mansion, and they're talking because it turns out that the man who was killed was Swamp Thing's father. And it shows very funny panels of Alfred trying to clean up, like he's sweeping after Swamp Thing has like walked through the room, and he's like trying to sweep up all the mess that he's supposedly just throwing around as he's walking. It's pretty funny. The look on Alfred's face is funny. But Swamp Thing tells Bruce that, you know, because Bruce is kind of like, how are you feeling about this? And he's like, well, he was born, he lived, he died, and he will be welcomed back to the green, kind of like it's a circle of life type deal. And he seemed to be, you know, coping pretty well with the fact that his father just got murdered. And Bruce is kind of like, okay, well, that's odd. And then they find out there's another funny scene, an action scene with them. And one in the cave that's funny, one in the Batmobile is funny. They ended up tracking down the killer, and then Swamp Thing just straight up murders him. And Bruce is like, I thought you would come to terms with this. Like, why are you murdering this dude? Bruce didn't expect
it. This is how I come to terms with things, yeah. Bruce.
Yeah, and Bruce is like, what the fuck? What are you doing? And then he gets pissed off. He's like, you used me, and then you just killed him. And Bruce is, yeah. Bruce said, what happened to the light descending, quoting his little speech back at him. And, you know, he's like, he admits that he wanted revenge, and that straight up is just what I wanted to do, what he wanted to do. And Bruce is like, no, you have to tell me about how it's a circle of life. Like, he had been comforted by Swamp Thing's words earlier, and then he knew it was all just a lie. So I think it tied in well with the end of the button where he was thinking about his father's words, and now another situation with another father. And I just thought it all worked out really well. I really like the artwork in this book too. Batman is just one of my favorites from Rebirth. I love it. And then something a little fun, a little bit more fun. Super Sons number 4. Which I feel like I talk about Super Sons every time it comes out.
It's a good book.
It's a monthly. Have you read this one?
I've read 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I have 3 laying back there.
Somehow they just get better. Like, seriously. This one's been my favorite, and I love the first 3. and I say this every time, too, but Damian has the best lines.
He really does.
Him making fun of John, just those little Damian digs. He just knows how to just work that. I mean, it's a thing of beauty, and it makes me laugh. And he's not wrong. That's the thing. Like, he's gonna cut you where it hurts, dude. He's not pulling any punches whatsoever. I mean, just straight up asking John, I have to ask, do you have any superpowers?
Do you know what it makes me think of? If Caden and Ethan were like sons of superheroes,
yeah,
it's our boys.
They would. I don't know which one of them would be Damien, though, because they're both little smartasses.
They both, like, pop off with those lines, like, really? Did you? Caden right. did that to me the other day. Really? Did you really think about that before you did it, Mom? Yeah. And I went, really?
And did John gets some in there, too, but
Damien just
is so funny. And nobody is immune from it. It's not just John. He gives some sass to Lex Luthor, and this is hilarious. He says Superman in quotes, like you can, it's like you can hear his voice saying Superman in the air quotes. It is so funny.
Oh God.
But this is a really good story, with Kid Amazo. It just well done and awesome artwork. Even Damien's little side eye, when John can get a dig in every now and then, he'll just give him this look. Just the way that that's drawn, it's just, it's perfect, Damien. I wish this was a cartoon.
You know, it might be soon. I mean, look at all the cartoons they're rolling out. Superhero
I like
cartoons.
It. But they, this is a really good book. But, and at the end, they're still fussing at each other. You know, John's just like, you don't care about anyone, just like Batman. And Damien says, I'm better than Batman in every way. And then they get, because they had snuck out to do this thing, and then they get busted by Lois and Alfred.
That's a great combination.
That's how they
get busted
it.
By.
Yeah. So great. All right, so I jabbered.
It's okay. So since we're going to finish up our books real quick, I will say I found a way around the hoopla. And this is not cheating, guys. Like, this is not, like, we're not stealing here. So there's a way around the hoopla if your local library does not offer it. For those
really?
Of you, yeah. So for those of you that are in our area, mine and Jenny's area, like, I am an Enterprise. Enterprise Public Library does not offer Hoopla, but they do offer Overdrive. I can actually drive to Dothan and visit with Jenny and go to their library. And for $25 a year, and it's not, like, automatically renewed. You usually pay them with cash. For $25, I can become a member of the Dothan Library and have access to the Hoopla app through a Dothan Library membership.
Really?
Yes, you can. So
$25 a year is completely worth
right.
it.
Right. I looked up on Dothan Library's website, and you can, you know, be from a surrounding area and pay $25. And essentially you're becoming like a member of the library. Uh-huh. And they will allow you to then check out items and become a member for that small fee, because you don't live in Dothan. You are not, it's, you know, the public library is for the members of the community, and I'm technically not part of the community.
Right. Right.
So if your local library doesn't participate, maybe look around you within, you know, a 20-minute drive around you to the other mm-hmm. towns and see if they are a member of Hoopla. And if they are, call them and ask them, how much does it cost? Because I know when we still lived in Ozark, we decided the Enterprise Library is a little bit better. So we actually joined them before we moved over here.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, theirs, I think, was $15. So just call the library, find out, you know, hey, I live in the next town over, but I love your library. I'd love to check out your items, see what their membership fee is for someone that's not considered a member of the community. And then you've paid, I mean, yeah, you're paying for Hoopla, but I bet that library also has things that you'll probably want to check out. So
And, I mean, it's completely worth it, because that they do not skimp on the selection. They have current, like, Rebirth trade volumes, and then they have a huge backlog of all kinds of older comics, not even just superhero. Saga is on there. I know somebody was reading Saga. All kinds, and that's just comic books, not to mention books, audio books,
right.
and everything else. So worth it for the $25.
I would say
that,
so.
That's amazing. I'm so glad you told me that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I thought all right.
So, streams? Shall
streams.
We stream?
Let's stream away.
Let's stream. Okay. I think because there was one show that you and I both streamed the current mm-hmm. season, and mm-hmm. we both finished and both had thoughts, so mm-hmm. I think we should discuss that.
We were talking about...
Unbreakable.
Stay Alive, damn it.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Unbreakable.
That song gets stuck in my
female
head every
strongest.
Single time.
Sorry.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix.
Yes.
Season 3. And I really loved the first two seasons, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't one of those things was like, oh, I can't wait, you know.
I did feel that way after season 1. I was like, what? Yeah. There should be more.
But then once I started watching season 3, it's so good. Like,
season 3 is really good.
The jokes are on point, and they always have been. That
well,
entire show
she's is growing, funny. So she's starting to have like better adult jokes.
Yes, because a lot like her thing is that how naive she is and
well,
out of touch.
I mean, what was she? They talk about it all the time, but how old was she when he abducted her again?
Well, she was there for 15 years, so she was like a teenager.
Right. She was young. She was like 8th, 9th grade. Like, she doesn't have an education. Like,
right.
And
right.
so she's not versed on the world. She lived in a bunker for 15 years.
Exactly. With a fucking insane – well, all of them were insane, but
I don't know. I think that Spanish woman was probably not insane. Yeah. It's just nobody understood what the hell she was saying.
In 15 years, they couldn't learn any Spanish.
Don't they talk about that in episode or in season 2 sometime?
Yeah.
Where she, like, in Spanish, she's on the, like, they're on the Today Show or something like that.
Yeah.
And they keep trying to talk to her, and she's like, you'd think these bitches after 15 years. I was like, oh, God.
It's so funny. So, and what the character that stood out for me in season 3 was Titus, because he's also growing. As a person, and because he's one of those characters who I've always enjoyed, and had good jokes, but there's something about this season, almost everything he said, I giggled at.
Almost every single thing.
And then his character development was on point.
He's growing too, though. Because she talks to him, she's like, you're selfish. And
yeah.
I can't be friends with somebody like this if you're going to act like that. And, I kind of liked that. I've loved her in season 1 and 2, but this season, like, I really just wanted to, like, she's becoming, like, amazing, is Jacqueline.
Yes.
I love her so much.
Yeah. Can you imagine from season 1 to season 3 how much she's grown as a character?
Oh, I hate, like, season 1, I didn't hate her, but you love, like,
she was almost the antagonist.
It's like you hated that you loved her, but you loved her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how she was in season 1, because she was very self-absorbed. She was mm-hmm. very, she never called Kimmy by her real name for so many.
Oh, no.
For so long, and then she was the help, and mm-hmm. it was just very, very interesting. But she's grown, and I like seeing that they're showing more, because she's supposed to be Native American, and I like that they're trying to get her to, like, she's realizing her roots. Oh, wait,
yeah.
I'm not some spoiled New York, you know, second generation money, third generation mm-hmm. money. Like, I'm actually from South Dakota, and I'm mm-hmm. a Native American, and so I really like that.
It's, to me, it just shows Kimmy's influence on them, how they've tried to be better people.
It is. I do miss Dong, though.
I do. Even though I do like that dude that they have for her.
Harry.
As a love.
I think I like him. They mesh well. They're on
they
the
do.
Same. Like,
they're real cute.
They are. Because she's actually smart. She just doesn't realize it, because she has been, literally in a shelter.
Right.
Bunker. So it's just funny, but she is actually really smart, and it's hard for him, that joke where he's like, oh, white girl, where she gets into college on a full scholarship.
Yeah, it's like, I worked for 10 years to get to Columbia, and she shows up and gets a rowing scholarship, and she's like, yeah, I go here now. glad I worked my fucking ass off.
I think white girl just walks in there
with a full scholarship.
How they recruited her for the rowing team, and she actually had no freaking clue what they were recruiting her for, or why they were recruiting her, or... I do like the episode. It, because Kimmy isn't supposed to be as old as you and I, but she's supposed to be, you know, she's older. I do like the episode where, he's driving the bus, and she's like, wait, you know, we don't, why are we trying to party like these kids that are 18, 19, just going to college? You know, we're older, and maybe I didn't miss it. Like, I think it's an epiphany for her, because she's always thought she missed out on everything.
Yes.
Which in some ways she really did, but she's having that moment of, I don't have to be 18 and at a party, which that party scene, oh, this is a contract of the things that we can do to each other. And then she finds out he's not even 18.
She's like,
you consent? What?
Oh God. And then he called his mama.
His mama, and he starts crying.
Oh my Jesus. That shit was so funny. Earlier in that episode where she was talking to Perry when he was working at the shop, and she just grabbed some random stuff to buy. It was like some Easter grass.
He's like, you know, you can't smoke this,
right?
Oh, that'd be great. That's great. I love this show so much. But I will say that final episode came on, and I was kind of like, I kind of did the same thing that I did with Grace and Frankie, where I went, wait, that's the final episode?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get cliffhangers, because that's the whole point of a season ending. But there was, like, too many cliffhangers.
Well, I don't know. I think it's probably on par with what they've done in the past.
That's true. You know, they have kind of done that before.
Yeah. And they did an homage to Back to the Future that was awesome.
That was great.
I was like, yes. That's so weird, but it just works on
that
show.
It did just work. My only criticism to Netflix and making Netflix originals, if you're going to make a serial like this, where the episodes are essentially, they would be 30-minute time slots on TV if you were an actual timed slot on a network. Don't just give us 12 and call it a season and then make us wait a half.
Yeah.
Because most 30-minute time slot episodes on a network, there are still 20, sometimes 30 episodes. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, can't you give us, you know, even if you bumped it up to like, say, 18 episodes maybe? Mm-hmm. That's only 6 more episodes. I don't know. Maybe they feel like their content is good enough that, like, here's these 12.
Yeah. It's easily bingeable in a day.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to do it that way. So maybe that's the appeal of it. But, I agree with that. Because most of the shows, like, that do have 13 episodes, they're at least an hour long.
Right. But they've done it. They did it with Grace and Frankie. They've done it with Kimmy, all three seasons. They did it with they've done it to me with The Ranch, which I found out there's a new.
Yes, there's a new season.
Mm-hmm. That makes me happy. There's new, and then Drew Barrymore,
Santa Clarita Diet.
Santa Clarita Diet. I was like, what's that word in the middle there? The Santa Clarita Diet was the same way. It was only like 13 episodes. I just, that would be my only critique is that I would like to see maybe lengthen from 12 to 13 to maybe more like 15 to 16. I know.
Agreed.
I'm not asking for a ton more. I'm not asking you 22, but I would like to see a few more.
In Kimmy's case, because every episode is just joke, quality jokes. I mean, there's hardly one
quality
in there that is not well crafted. I mean, amazing. But I wonder if that would cut down. You know what? I doubt it, because they could do that. They could easily do 6 more joke.
It's so really good. I really like Mimi. She comes in with the
yes. Good her God, she's crazy.
Things are hysterical.
What was her deal? She got a
At first, I'm going to just tell you.
Butt implant. At
first, I couldn't understand what was going on. I was like, why is right. Mimi ass up in the air?
Yeah.
And I did it for Jenny, actually, before we started recording, because she said something. I don't remember what she said, but I pulled a Mimi line.
Oh, who did?
Mimi's ass up in the air, you know, in this hospital bed, and Jacqueline comes walking in the door, and she's like, Jacqueline, please don't leave me. Even my family is texting. New phone. Who dis? I lost my shit.
Because she's so damn annoying.
But that's what makes God. Her so stinking hysterical.
Yeah, she is funny.
Or what was it where they were sitting there drinking wine and they were having a general like, ha ha ha, funny conversation. Mm-hmm. And she drops a one-liner about something that happened between one of her and one of her many ex-husbands. And she drops it and they're all laughing and all of a sudden she's like, like she just loose.
She is on the balancing like edge of like complete madness at any given moment.
I think she's there. She's constantly there.
She's barely functioning.
High functioning alcoholic is what I would call her.
Me too. What else do we have for shows?
So I don't know why I've not watched it before, but I decided to watch Schitt's Creek.
How was that?
So it's another one that there's only like 10 episodes per season. But it was really funny.
Who's
it's kind
in that
of dry humor funny. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people in the show that they're all like for real related to each other too. So that's what's hang on. So Eugene Levy, Eugene Levy, most of you guys will remember him as the dad from American Pie. Mm-hmm. So he's the dad of this show, and he's also one of the writers and producers. He's in it, and the basic concept of the show is this rich, they're a video store, huge video store people, super, super rich. And in the very first episode, literally the first few minutes, the IRS is confiscating everything that belongs to them. Their money manager has, like, misused their funds or whatever and has ran off with their money, essentially. They have
great.
Nothing.
Isn't that what happened to Movie Gallery?
It's possible. My cousin used to be a manager there. I could ask. But so they're forced to leave this pampered lives and the IRS, you know, the guy sits them down and he's like, oh, so there's been a few things that the IRS is going to let you keep. And I honestly forget the other things that they let them keep because the one is so prominent. And apparently as a joke, several years before, Johnny has bought this town for his son. Once again, as a joke, like he bought it, he owns it. And it's called Schitt's Creek. Like mm-hmm. S-C-H-I-T-T-S, shits. Because mm-hmm. apparently if you said, like, actually S-H-I-T, you can't make that a TV show name. But you can doing it this way. So
they're clever.
They're clever. So they have to go to Schitt's Creek and live in this, like, for all intents and purposes, it's a hotel I would not stay in. So imagine living a glorious life of luxury beyond anything that we have ever experienced. And then going to, like, the Bates Motel. And it's got some good names in it. Like Eugene Levy is the dad. And then his son, Dan, plays the son on there. And then Catherine O'Hara is the mom.
Oh, she's great.
Eugene's daughter, Sarah, plays Twyla, who is one of the town locals. So, and then I guess he and Dan, his son Dan, write and produce this together. Some of the jokes are dry humor jokes, mm-hmm. but it's funny. And it's easy to watch. It's something, the reason I turned it on is because I didn't want to get, like I do have a lot of CW shows to watch and like Criminal Minds and things that have ended, but I didn't want to get into something that I had to really pay a whole lot of attention to, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you really don't have to. You can literally hear the jokes from another room and be like, it was great. And I guess it comes on Pop TV, which I've heard of, but I'm not familiar with. So season 1 and 2 is on Netflix. I guess season 3 either just happened or is happening. And then I saw today that they've been renewed for season 4.
Awesome.
So
I will have to watch that one.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like I said, it's another one of those super, super quick, like, oh, I'm home for the day, but what do I want to watch? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it got turned on.
Awesome. I had another one that I watched in about a day as well. And it's not really that geeky, which I guess some of these aren't.
Either.
But it's called Dear White People on Netflix.
I looked at that. I was kind of interested in that.
And I didn't really know what to expect when I put it on, but surprisingly pretty damn good. There's a lot. It's a predominantly African American cast. They're all really good. Every single one of them are really good actors, and they're probably all going to be huge stars because they're gorgeous. Everybody on the show is gorgeous. Dudes, chicks, everybody. And the kind of premise is it's only 10 episodes, is they are at a college and they, one of the, I don't really think it's a frat, but one of the groups on campus has a blackface party.
Oh.
So all these white kids show up in blackface and have this party. And then the leaders of the different African-American groups on the campus found out about the party, break it up, and this huge scandal. Everybody's trying to figure out what the response needs to be. So it follows kind of like the leaders of all these movements. Like the main character, she has a radio show called Dear White People, and she's basically like a shit stirrer. There are different sections of African-American groups on campus, and not all of them agree on what the best way to handle this is. Some of them, you know, want to just totally, you know, not stand for it. Some of them want to take a more middle ground, you know, try to work with it kind of stance. So it's a lot of different things going on, but, everybody gets laid all the time, I guess, cause it's college, and, it definitely don't watch it with your kids around or in the room or whatever. And each episode follows like the story of one of the main characters. So we'll focus on this person for this episode, the next person, kind of just different points of view, but it also advances the whole story along to a conclusion. It's like a lot of storylines to follow, but it's really, really well done. Lots of good music in it. Lots of great performances. It's funny too. It has some really funny stuff. It's I don't want to say topical, but it's timely, you know, with things that are happening in our country. But it handles it in an interesting way. I'm pretty sure.
I like that I'm hearing a positive about a show like this. Because I've heard a really big negative about a movie that recently came out that was more of a, it was not a funny, but it was also a black and white stance, if that makes sense. It's that like semi-horror movie that just came out.
Oh, Get Out?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I do want to see it as well, but I have heard some very, very, very negative things from both Caucasian side and the African American side of
really
people. Yeah,
I have seen nothing but praise for that movie.
Yeah, I have not, unfortunately. I mean, critic wise, I've seen praise, but for my personal, like, people in my life and on Twitter and just in various, and from all aspects of life, all walks, all different, not just, you know, Caucasian and African American. I've even seen some Hispanics and also commenting and saying, like, this is what? Like, so
really?
I need to watch it. It's one of those, like, I need to watch it for myself now. And
yeah.
If I can understand how each individual person and group is feeling during their complaints.
I think it's there to think about. And I think along with the lighter sides of that show there, it does give you a lot to think about. They say the word woke way fucking much.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it right now. The word woke and the word extra, I think I'm really fucking old because when somebody's like, that's so extra or he's so woke, I want to be like, does he need to go to back to bed? He's got extra or he's got extra what?
No, no.
I know what they mean. I know what they mean. I get it. But it's like the damn On Fleek a few years ago. Really? Really? Is it necessary?
I agree with you on woke. It will drive me crazy in the show. But extra is my jam.
I know it's your jam. And every time you text me and you're like, such and such is so extra. I'm like,
oh God, Jenny, please. Sometimes it's the perfect way to fucking describe
it. Now, there was one day that you sent it to me in a text message. And not to like call on Ethan, but you were like, damn, Ethan is so extra today. Now, that day, that was funny. That was so funny.
And then I got that back when he told me that I was extra.
But I guess I'm just old because when people run around and say those words, I'm like, what? Oh, God.
I will own that. I won't say woke. I won't say that, but I'll say extra. Especially around you.
Oh, I did learn. Oh, you can say it as much as you want to. I did learn, though, you're not supposed to call yourself woke. Like, you are not, it's not apparently correct or polite to say, I'm so woke, but you can say, he's so woke, or that's woke, or, but you're not allowed to, apparently, you're not allowed to call yourself that, I learned.
I want to say one of the characters does say that. They actually discuss an app where they have like pictures of all the students and you swipe left if they're woke and right if they're not woke.
It's Tinder for woke people.
It's Tinder for wokeness.
I don't even want to say that word. That is, oh my God, that's flipping hysterical.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then another thing that's funny about that show, which I was not expecting any really that much humor, but, there's a kind of a running joke in the show. It's a show within a show that's parroting Scandal. And so
I don't
it's
watch
like
Scandal, but that sounds funny.
It's a direct parody of Scandal. Oh, frack.
How dare somebody post this in the middle of us trying to record? Because now all I can stare at is Stephen Amell butt.
What? Where's Stephen Amell butt? Why are you looking at stuff when I'm trying to speak to you. Get woke, Miranda.
Oh, my God. I'm too old. I was trying to send you a link to something that we need for our current podcast, and I have to use Facebook to do it, and I flip over there, and damn you, Russell Sellers.
What is he doing?
If you didn't just, in the middle of our message, post the link to the video of Stephen Amell doing Ninja War.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Well, now you got me watching it. We can't do this. We're podcasting.
Well, we could be like Greg and Nick where they explain what is happening as they're watching it.
No, no. Jane needs private time to view this.
I need some private time to view this.
Aw, spanking.
They just said the fanboys all across America are losing their minds. I think they meant fangirls. Fangirls are
both.
Losing their minds.
Both.
Well, there are some fanboys out there losing their minds, mm-hmm. too, but... Mm-hmm. Holy... Oh, God.
Okay. Stop. Stop it.
I can't help it.
Stop it right now.
I can't stop looking.
Step away from the phone.
I'm not on the phone. I'm on the actual computer. It's in front of me. I can't make it go away.
Minimize.
Nope. It's on now. Just keep going. I can multitask. I'm a mother.
What the hell were we talking about? Oh, they do a the show within the show. They all gather around to watch this, and I forget the name of it, but it's a funny ass name, and they're totally making fun of Scandal.
I need to see that.
You know, Scandal has a inner relationship in it.
Yes.
So it's just totally makes fun. It's so funny and hilarious. Okay. What other show? Was there anything else? Streams?
I don't have any more streams. I had a quick download.
Okay. I got a quick download too.
Okay. So for downloads, I have, and I thought I had mentioned this before, but I flipped back through all my notes. It says I have not. So if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But one of the ones that I have listened to, and I don't listen to it like regularly, I listen off and on. It's called Realm Maintenance, your news for World of Warcraft and Blizzard games. Sorry that I'm not getting worked above the video. Like I seriously like just had a moment. My throat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't even watching it. I was reading. So they are already
extra.
Okay, so they're on episode 234. It's a weekly. They come out weekly, usually. If you're familiar with Warcraft and Blizzard games, you know it's during... on Tuesdays, they shut down. They have, you know, server reset to, you know, make sure... Do updates on the game, make sure the game's going great, all that kind of stuff. So this guy actually puts his show out to where it releases and you can listen to it. His whole point is he wants you to listen to it during that server reset.
Oh.
And it talks about, you know, the upcoming things, because sometimes with the reset you get new dungeons or new raids or just different things. And he actually talks about those and he interviews people. Sometimes he might talk about, he might interview somebody and ask them specifically about, say, like PvP or just different things. And he's really good. I initially, when I first tried to listen to him, I thought he was one of those solo deals, and he is. He's one host, and then, but he always interviews someone.
Okay.
Or a group of someones. And the first time I listened to him, I got like 20 or so minutes in, not realizing like, oh, there will be more people joining later. Mm-hmm. And he was by himself. And after a little bit, I was like, okay, this is not somebody I can continue. Cause I saw that it was like an hour and 40 minutes left. I was like, I don't think I could listen to this guy alone for an hour and 40 minutes. And I will say it takes a lot to do a podcast where you are the only host, like a single person. You have to have a very big, and not overbearing, but you have to have a very big personality. You have to be very engaging. And it's almost really hard to have a one-person podcast. But he does a good job because he has his moment and it's just him. And then he has his interviews and stuff. And then at the end, he comes back to just him. He like, for the last 10, 15 minutes or so, or maybe not even that long, he will, you know, summarize and recap and talk about things to come ahead. And then it's over. So once I got back and I realized, oh, there are more people. Like, it's not that bad. It's actually a really good. And it's not that I can't listen to him, but he was just a person that, like, I couldn't listen to him narrate a book. Does that make sense?
You're saying you don't like his voice.
No, he doesn't have a bad voice. I just, it's not one I find gripping enough to listen to continuously. Mm. Kind of like I have my favorite narrators now, and I listen to them because I love what they can do with their voice and how they can grab you with their voice. And he just doesn't do that. But he is a great podcaster.
So he doesn't have like a nose whistle or anything?
No, he doesn't have anything where he says words oddly or whistle through his nose or... No.
All right.
He doesn't do voices either.
What's the name of that again?
Realm. R-E-A-L-M, Maintenance.
And what's the guy's name?
Totally just forgot. Because he doesn't go by, like, you know, like, we're Jenny and Miranda. He goes by, like, a handle.
Oh.
Yeah. And I want to say it's his name from Warcraft. Kind of like sense. If I had came on and always gone by Captain Fiona. Hey.
I'm going to start introducing you that way now.
I think someone has before on a panel I was on.
I think that probably everyone who might listen to us probably already knows about this, but this is one of the first things I started listening to was The Nerdist. Woo-hoo. With Chris Hardwick. And he has...
I looked the other day. I forget how many episodes.
875 episodes. If there's anybody that you ever thought of, they've probably been on this podcast at least once.
Yep. And there's a few people that have been on there multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
He's had Neil deGrasse Tyson on there multiple times. He's really good to listen to. The Zachary Levi episodes are always good.
Most recently, I listened to Michael Fassbender and Danny McBride.
I haven't listened to that one yet, but I've heard it's a great episode.
They were talking about Alien Covenant, and, you know, I'm all about some Fassbender, but I didn't know he was so funny, but he was cracking me up. And he's, like, I kind of thought he might be a little, maybe not as candid, maybe a little standoffish or cold even.
Right.
But he was just warm and just like a dude. You know what I mean? Just like a total, not like prima donna or anything. And even though he did talk about Ferrari racing, that's a rich dude conversation. But he was just real chill about it. And
didn't he have Catherine O'Hara on there not long ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought so.
One of my other favorite episodes is Anthony Mackie back when he was doing press for Civil War, maybe, somewhere in that time frame. I don't know the episode number. Oh my God. Anthony Mackie is hilarious.
I don't remember if I listened to that one or not.
That is the funniest shit ever.
One of my favorites was, I always loved, when Dax Shepard comes on.
Oh, yeah, he's good, too.
I love Dax Shepard. And then the Alan Tudyk episode.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was a good episode. And he's like, do you want anything to drink? Sure. What do you want to drink? Hey, can you get him some drink?
Chris just has this real easy way about him, and he makes it look effortless, even though I'm sure it's not.
I feel like he's somebody that if you and I were, like, out somewhere and we were like, oh my God, is that Chris Hardwick? That's Chris Hardwick. And we could walk right up and be like, we're really sorry to bother you, but you're Chris Hardwick. And he would be like, yes, I am.
And I'm sure he probably gets tired of that, but I know he would never be a dick about
it. No, I've read his autobiography, which is really good, by the way. And of all places to find it, I found it at the Dollar Tree, hardback, for a buck.
He has an autobiography?
Yes.
I did not know this.
It's fantastic. And my goal in life is eventually to have him sign it one day. But,
yeah, I need to borrow that.
Well, I have that, and I have Simon Pegg's, and then I have Felicia Day's, and I would like each of those to be signed at some point in my life.
The Nerd Trifecta.
It is. It's fantastic. There's another one, Olivia Munn. I have hers, too.
Ugh. Okay.
Hush. Hush your face.
Anyway.
It's freaking hysterical. The book is hysterical, at least. So, yeah.
So that's Nerdist.
Nerdist
and
I just cut my face, and I don't know how I cut my face because all I have in front of it is my hand.
You know what you need? You need to get woke.
Oh, dear sweet baby Jesus.
All right. We're coming up on a break. Y'all stay woke, okay?
But why?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of The Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, PTBN also covers current day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular PlayStation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows, plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA on-demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey and Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apuitas podcast, the Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. Thank you for coming back after the break, even though I got so wrapped up in my woke joke that I didn't even tell you guys what the hell else we're going to talk about.
Well, I kind of did, because then I went, but why?
But, you know, recently they've announced all of the shows that have been canceled, not all of the shows, but many, many shows that have been canceled. We watch a lot of TV, so we're asking the question, gone too soon?
We're not gone soon enough.
And we kind of just picked out a handful of shows that we've maybe talked about before, and maybe some of our favorites, some that we might be mad about, some that we are not mad about. So we're just going to kind of pick and choose from our list of canceled shows. Where do we want to start with this?
Well, most of my list written here is I'm mad about it. But,
okay.
But I do have, I mean, we do have the list here. So there's some that I'm not necessarily, I ain't mad at it. You know, does that make sense? But it's probably because I didn't really watch it, or I didn't watch it past like couple of episodes. And then there's some that are renewed that I'm like, but why?
Well, that's true. I think maybe some of those, well, one in particular that I ain't really that mad about, and not really surprised about, Powerless on NBC.
Yeah, I guess you could call that one. I ain't really mad about it either, because I never really started watching it.
Well, I'd watched a good 5-6 episodes, and There were a few moments that were pretty all right. But, I mean, once I stopped watching it, I literally never thought about it again. And it's sad because I really like Alan Tudyk. And he was, to me, the best part on that show. And I just hate that for him.
Bless his heart. Why does his shows always get canceled?
I don't know.
Well, Fox is the reason why.
Well, yeah, that's true. But Powerless, it just didn't know what it was. I don't think it's
an amazing concept.
Just because superheroes and that world, especially DC and Batman in particular, but
I think it may have been the wrong channel for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, NBC. It's iffy.
Don't get me wrong. I watch a lot of NBC stuff, but I feel like this would have been funnier had you put it on one of the networks that airs a lot of superhero
comedy
shows. Well, NBC does do a lot of comedies, but I feel like it would have been better done, for one, because I did see parts of it. I just didn't, like, it was, I was going to record it. I was going to watch all of it. But I watched, like, 6 minutes of the first episode and, like, 4 or 5 minutes of, like, the third episode. I got enough of it that I understood.
In those 8 minutes.
Right. Well, like, I understood what was going on and I understood the concept. And I got the concept before it ever aired. The overall concept is great, but I felt like it wasn't maybe the right time slot. And network can screw a show over quickly. Time slot, definitely.
I can see that. I can see that. But I think in the end, just it was powerless. Puns.
Well,
okay.
Let's stick with NBC and one that you and I are both mad at. We ain't happy.
Which one?
So Emerald City.
Yes. Now, I praise that show. I talked about it. About how surprised I was that I liked it so much, how pretty it was. Your dog is...
I think my husband's home, and she hears him coming home, and she is not okay that he is coming home and not paying attention to her. So she is voicing her opinion right now.
But I really am surprised. I guess maybe... maybe word didn't really get out on that show because... Like I said, when I picked it up, it's like I hadn't heard much about it at all, whether it was good or bad. And then after I watched it and just really was impressed across the board, performances, story, to me, a pretty unique take on Oz, the Wizard of Oz, and that story, which has been done, of course, but
not like this.
Not like that. It's,
It was really good.
It just didn't get to me. I just assumed that nobody watched it.
Well, no, I know a lot of people that did, and everybody that did really enjoyed it. And the funny thing is, you would think with NBC's Grim Run that they, you know, they have the ability to do this show, and they did it well. But I don't know why it just didn't catch.
I don't either.
Maybe it's the time of the superhero and not the. Oz isn't really a fairy tale, but maybe it's more of the time of the superhero and not the tales that we used to like if maybe if that had come out around or about the time Once Upon a Time started or a couple of years into Once Upon a Time,
which you know that has its own problems now. So
yeah, but they keep going; they're going to keep going. So I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm not entirely mad at that.
Yeah, I really hope that, in particular, that the lead actress in Emerald City, I don't know her name.
I can't remember.
And then the main guy.
I liked him.
I did. That dude has a superhero movie or TV show written all over him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'd be perfect for that. And her too. I mean,
yeah.
Jessica Cruz, just saying.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Throwing it out there.
That. See that.
I liked her a lot. What else
well,
are we mad about?
On the train of I'm mad at it because it didn't go over like it was supposed to, and it didn't bring, like, they didn't advertise it well. I've already talked about this, so I won't go on a tirade again. I won't stay on it too long, but just to mention again, time after time on ABC, also did not get a lot of, it got, like,
no press
whatsoever.
No.
Like, none.
None.
And I think the time slot for it was really bad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Time slot, day and slot, and lack of advertising killed it. And that's a shame.
It is a shame.
So
I don't know.
That's on ABC. You got any on ABC that you're mad about?
I don't think on ABC.
I have one other on ABC. I don't know if you ever paid attention to it. It's another one that it got, like, no. Now, I will give them this. They did show a lot of previews running up to it. So if you actually, like, watched previews or forgot to fast forward, you would have caught it. And then I think it was in, it had an ad in Entertainment Weekly, maybe. But it was Imaginary Mary.
I literally have never heard it. Oh, okay. What was that about?
So, Jenna Elfman's character, she's Alice. Mary is the, so Jenna Elfman's character, Alice, is a grown adult, but she had, like, kind of a crappy childhood. So during her childhood, she created a imaginary friend, and that's Mary. And now she is an adult and she's in this, first, like, actual committed relationship, and he has kids, and Mary pops back up because things are complicated and she doesn't know how to handle it. And I guess Mary was always how she helped her handle things. Mary's always the one that helped her take care of things.
Huh.
And literally nobody can see, it's an imaginary friend. Nobody can see her, but it's funny because she's talking to her and she's, like, dancing with her going through the whole thing, and they just ended the season, and they ended it, me not knowing that it had been canceled. They, like, completed all the episodes, and the way they ended the last one, it was very touching, but there was, like, a, oh, yay, I see where they're going to do season, you know, what they could do in season two, and then I found out, like, 2 days later, there is no season two.
Well, that sucks.
It does suck, because it was really cute. I really liked it.
She was on a show kind of in the same vein. She had a short-lived show that I actually liked a lot called, I think it was Accidentally on Purpose.
I think I watched that too.
That was yes. 7-8 years ago.
I'm trying to remember. That one was the one where she wants to settle down, have a family. She's, like, supposed to be barely in her 30s, right?
Yeah. She's in her
30s.
Her,
like, her boyfriend doesn't want to do that. Like, he wants to play video games and just, and he was cute.
Yeah, and she
and he
gets,
was a little bit younger,
she gets pregnant.
I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a little bit younger.
Yes.
Than her.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. I liked that show, too. I remember
and John,
being upset.
John Foster was in it, which he just did the last season of The Mindy Project. He was really good on that. And Ashley Jensen was in
that
show.
No, that is him. John Foster. That was her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the guy that was her boyfriend.
It was a really good. I liked that show quite a bit.
I'd forgotten about it, but as soon as you said it, I went, yes. Because that the episode where they're deciding, like, they've decided, like, okay, I'm going to make this work. And they have, like, the U-Haul.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. I did, too. That was a good show. I wonder what the deal is with Jenna Elfman.
I don't know, because she's done great things before, and she's liked. So, once again, I think time slot, and you got to put it with the right lineup.
She's had a string of failed sitcoms.
But that one, yeah, I was sad about that. I would still say if you could watch season one to go do it. I mean, even if you know that there's not a season two, I mean, it was still a cute thing. I liked it a lot.
All right. So this next one, I can't decide if I'm mad about it or not. We've talked about it quite a bit on Fox, Scream Queens. I super was surprised and loved the first season.
Right.
The second season had its moments, but for the most part did not live up to the first season.
Okay. They had said we're canceling it and it had been the end of season one. I'd been mad about it. I've been like way mad about
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of season two, I'm mad, but I'm not mad. I'm
yeah.
mad because season three had potential to go back to season one and it mm-hmm. had a following and people really liked it. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how networks will say, oh, well, it's down 15% from what it was last year. So, you know, maybe that means it's just not for us. And I'm thinking 15%, that's it. Which I'm going to get into on one of the shows that I am mad about because their reasoning was a drop in percentage rating. So I just think it's odd that if you're, and I remember, if I remember correctly, Scream Queens was not down like a tremendous amount. People continue to watch it. They mm-hmm. just had a lot of like, really? Like this wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. And
well, the quality went down. So maybe they just had some viewers that
which is sad
were.
Because cast season one was phenomenal, but they increased and gave us just as amazing.
John Stamos.
Right. You got just as amazing of a cast in season two. Mm-hmm. So I'm really sad that the quality went down because it wasn't due to acting.
And to me, I could see how a lot of those, especially the actresses, the lead, what's her face, Emma Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see how she would probably want to move on to something else, you know?
She still wants to, I mean, her goal is to still be a huge part of the American Horror Story franchise. She wants
yeah.
to be there.
Okay. Abigail Breslin, I'm sure, has
she's got
tons
a lot
of offers.
Going on. I mean, well, she just did, I don't know how it turned out. I heard some bad things and some good things, but she just did the Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. Oh, I saw some terrible reviews about
I
that.
I saw terrible reviews, but I saw some good ones too, so I don't know.
I had to hate watch it.
Because I was, yeah, I'm probably going to hate watch it too. I heard the snippet where the guy was like, nobody puts baby in the corner. I was like, oh, no, I can't do it.
Literally, every bad review had that in the title. Like, somebody should put this in the corner. Boy. Boy.
Okay, get a new save.
low-hanging fruit. I can't deny that.
I'll hate watch it like I did I was initially excited about Rocky Horror Picture Show and I got like 15 minutes in and said, nope, I'm not finishing this.
But you know what? I did see Chad Raswell from Scream Queens. You know what movie he was on?
What?
He was on Hidden Figures.
I want to watch that so bad. I have not seen
it. It was excellent. And I did not know he was in that movie. And I'm like, it's freaking Chad Raswell. And he played John Glenn.
Oh, Lord.
And all I could see was Chad Radwell's John Glenn. But he was really good. He was really good. I think that dude, I think
he'll
he's going to
be. Back
be...
in something. When we get the list of fall shows coming out, which we've seen a few already, but when we get the list of fall shows coming out, I would not be surprised if he is not in something.
What else you got?
So I'll go ahead and talk about the one where I was talking about percentages and it's mm-hmm. on Freeform, formerly known as ABC Family. Mm-hmm. And they just actually this week had the, what they're calling the series finale, but it was Baby Daddy. And if you remember, Nerd Eye Candy from last time
mm-hmm.
was from that show, Derek Thielen. And they have decided, after however many seasons this was now. Let me see. Had it pulled up. Let me scroll up here. Oh, it doesn't say what season. But, yeah, so they've just, they, as of Monday night, Tuesday night, there's mm-hmm. no more.
Aw. So they said that they lost a huge percent of their audience, or... Hard traveling fanboy problems.
No, I think we're okay. I think we're
okay.
I just couldn't hear you for a minute, so there may be. I apologize if everybody listening just heard like a long pause because I couldn't hear her.
Perhaps I had muted it accidentally.
It's okay.
We'll follow that.
So, yeah, they're the one that they put out this long article, and I guess after doing the tabulations and such, this season was down 18%. That was exactly how much they said. It was down 18% from previous seasons, and therefore they just did not feel that the viewership was where it needed to be to continue.
Hmm.
It wasn't a lack of people not wanting to be there anymore or anything like that.
Which, 18.
18%.
So, like, where, what do you think is a good percentage? Like, at what point do you say, like, that's acceptable?
Honestly, if you're looking, because, I mean, percentages are based on 100, even 100. So, if you were to tell me that it was down by 30%, that's a huge, I mean, that's starting to get to be a huge chunk of 100. But if I say, I mean, for example, the way I broke it down to Caden yesterday was, you have 100 cookies, and I just took 18. And he was like, well, that's not so bad. I said, you have 100 cookies and I took 30. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa now. So that's how I'm going to describe it to you. If you had 100 cookies, and don't tweet me and say,
if I had 100 cookies, you ain't fucking getting none of them.
My point is, if you had 100 of something and you only had 18 of it that was like gone, you'd be like, that really sucks.
Well,
okay.
Perhaps the show had already been on a downward trend.
From the article they put out, they didn't make it sound that way, but that does not mean that you are not correct. I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
But like, they did end it in a way, it didn't close things off, but it was like, okay, so if there's no more, then I guess there's no more.
Hmm.
They had a touching little moment at the very, very end.
Well, that's good.
Because I don't know very many people watch it, but one of the main characters, she was pregnant with Danny, who was played by Derek Thieler's child, and she actually had the baby in this episode, in the final episode. And at the very, very end, she's sitting on the couch with the baby, and she says something about, well, I guess it's just me and you, or something along those lines. It was something real sweet. And then literally the entire family, like her brother-in-law, the roommate, her mother-in-law, her husband, they all start coming in, and they're arguing and talking loud and going to town. And she goes, well, baby, I guess it'll never be just me and you. And that's literally how they ended it. So, it's one of those where it could be left to open. But you're also seeing, like, the family is full. Like, they're complete.
Right.
So, I guess they did it with the intentions of, yeah, we're probably not going any further. Let's end it like this.
Well, that's better than some shows get.
I guess. I guess you're true. You're true.
I don't think I had anything else that really...
Is it just me that was angry at all the world?
Yeah, well,
you can say, yeah, it's okay. You're my friend.
I wasn't mad about this. I'm mad about other random stuff.
So did you ever watch any of The Great Indoors?
I watched the first episode, and I love me some Joel McHale, but
episode one was funny, but I could see where it would be a little rough. But the season got much better. But then I just found out that I found out today, actually, that they've canceled. They're not going to continue it, which is a really big shame because Joel McHale is hysterical in that show. And it's really funny. And it's in Chicago. And it's based in Chicago. And they're constantly talking about, the Cubs and the Bulls. And it just makes me happy.
Isn't the whole premise, like, is he making fun of millennials the whole time? Like, all the jokes are about that?
Some of them are. A lot of them are, yes. But throughout the season, it's they learn from him and he learns from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there are a lot of cracks at, you're a millennial or you're really young or there's this or there's that. Honestly, I kind of felt comforted. It sounds really mean, and I'm sorry, but it's really funny. It was really funny, but they learn from him and he learns from them. And there's some touching moments where, they admit like, hey, we're actually friends and we like each other. And cause he's like a seasoned, explorer, like outdoor man kind of thing. And he worked for a magazine where he would go out and he would live with a tribe that hadn't been spoken, hadn't talk to anybody or anything, and he'd live with them for a month and then come back and write an article about it. And so he comes back and he decides, I don't want to travel anymore. I'm going to actually come and I'm going to do this. And he comes back and everything's like digital. And here's like, they have someone that's a social media, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, that's not even a real thing. Like, so it was really funny. I was really, it's kind of really sad. I was really enjoying that one.
And Joel McHale has a pretty proven track record with what he does. You know, right. He was on The Soup for a really long time. Community was, mm-hmm. you know, even though it has its troubles, it was still on for a while.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a one and done.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to see what he does next.
I really liked it, though. I was really disappointed throughout there.
I don't think a sitcom is where I like him, though. I like him on something quirky like Community was. Like, that was the perfect fit for him. But
this had its quirky abilities.
Maybe something on...
Honestly, I feel like this is a show that may have done better on Netflix, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it was on CBS, right?
Yeah, it was a CBS. Mm. And liked one of the girls that played his only like actual girlfriend on the show was Maggie Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her from Psych?
I never watched Psych.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know.
And they're gonna have a Psych movie,
which I am so happy about.
I could say I'm psyched.
Yep. But are you woke?
Oh, dear God, with that again.
Am I being extra?
I can't even with you.
I'm on fleek.
Oh, God.
All right.
If you don't know who Maggie Lawson is, she's from Psych. And if you didn't watch Psych, then I can't be your friend anymore.
podcast over.
But she was on Two and a Half Men for a while. And then there was two shows that she did. I can't remember. One was Angel from Hell, where it was her and Jane, the really tall lady.
Lips.
Yes. That one was really funny, but it didn't last more than a season. And then another one called Back in the Game, where she was a single mom. And it all revolved around her son being a baseball player and her trying to get like the whole, it was basically a comedy, not really a comedy, but a sitcom, a 30-minute sitcom about, and she had to live with her dad but everything was baseball references. Like she grew up where she was raised just by her dad and he would always give baseball references for life events and things. But that one didn't go past season one either, so.
All right. What else you got?
Well, the only one I have left is one that we've actually talked about several times since the new fall shows have come out. And that was No Tomorrow on CW.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept, like, talking it up and telling people to go watch it and go. And from what I had understood, it was going to be renewed for a second season. Like, that's what they were talking about when they still had, like, a couple episodes left. But, because it was one that ended at mid. It started with everybody.
Right.
But it ended at mid. Right. And from what I had understood, I thought it was going to, you know, I want to say there was, like, two or three episodes left. And I thought it had been renewed. But then it's on the chopping block list of not renewed for season two.
Do we know the reason for that?
No, I just found it on the Yes Verified list of no longer happening. And I'm not sure. Let me see if I can find anything. But it was one of those. It was different. It was something different. It did play into the normal CW. Will they? Won't they?
Mm-hmm.
And the actors, and you know, the actor. I think he was my Nerd Eye Candy.
He was?
At one point. And the actress, she was just really good. She was, like, I had never heard of her before.
Mm-hmm.
But she was really good. And apparently it says here Yeah, because in this article they're talking about how they also canceled Frequency, which I did not.
No.
I originally set it to record, and then I, after 3 episodes, I was like, I'm apparently never getting to you, so. it said No Tomorrow actually only had 1 million viewers, and that's not enough for them.
Huh. Hello.
I guess, but then to me I'm like, that's 1 million people watching it. 1 million people are going to be mad.
If they liked it.
Well, they wouldn't keep watching it. Like, I know how you're always going, well, I'll just hate watch it. You do realize that when you're hate watching, you're giving it views. Like, you are adding to viewership. And
what the hell are you saying? They're supposed to know how much.
There should be a button on your remote that says, I'm only hate watching this.
Don't count me on your statistics.
Please do not count me. Or be, what is it, Nielsen family? Because we were a Nielsen family a really long time. There should be a separate Nielsen where it's like, please list all the shows that you only watch because you hate it. And you have to see if it's going to get worse because you know it's going to.
You know what else would fall under that category?
Don't even say it. Don't even say it. that's not the one I thought you were going to say. But yeah, that one's not up for a debate either. I figured you were going to tear down.
Which, I mean, this is all topic, but they moved Gotham to another night.
Moving shows to another night can sometimes kill it. So, all I know, as a fan, I will say, all of you that hate watch it and give me shit about it, you may be getting your wish, because moving it to another night can kill it.
Yep.
But I will say, everybody always asked me why I didn't live watch. Russell had asked me to, you know how we do we all kind of different shows. Like, you usually post most of the CW shows. I do iZombie. But I find myself not live watching a lot of things. So glad that I've not been participating in that. Please forgive me, Russell.
Well, shame on you.
But, he had talked
most
to me
of
about,
the time I'm in there just talking to myself anyway.
Well, I'm still like making dinner or cleaning up, or I want my time.
Oh,
where I can
mean
watch
like
it.
Living life.
Well, is that what that is? Because I really don't feel like
participating
cleaning and doing
in
things like
housework.
That is living, but sure.
Yeah, it's a life.
Sure. But on Monday nights, my Monday night shows, I hardly ever get to live watch. So maybe for me, I'll like this move into a new night.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
You mad about anything else?
Well.
Was that the last one?
No. Unless we're going to talk about, I'm mad because you're still going after 30 seasons. I mean, that kind of stuff.
Which one are you thinking about? Supernatural?
Hey, I ain't mad about that. I will never be mad about more Dean Winchester on my television screen. I'm going to be 60, and he's what, like 5 or 6 years older than us? And he's going to be like 65, almost still be going, I'm a Dean, girl!
And he'll still be Dean.
And he will still be Dean. He will still be Dean. And he will look really good being Dean at 65.
So which ones out of this list do you think needs to go? Like,
so a lot of people may really not like me for this. Because as a kid, this was like one of my favorite shows. We've talked about this before. But Dear Simpsons, you are on episode.
Oh.
You are on season 30. And you're starting to be very repetitive. And you used to be something that a child could watch. And I know that you weren't made for children to watch originally. I get that. But, don't call it quits. Another one, South Park. For love of God, you're not that funny anymore.
I would agree with South Park.
Like, seriously, it's 19 seasons? Let's give it up. Let's get
I didn't
it
even
up.
Realize they still had new seasons of South Park.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Huh.
Yes, ma'am. They are still going. And that's why I'm like, let's take it to the house and not to watch. Like, let's be done with you. Bury it in, like, no, let's not bury it in a time capsule. I don't want people to.
I was trying to think if there something had struck me too, where I was like, "Is this still a thing?"
Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge, huge fan of The Simpsons. So saying that is probably going to piss a lot of people off. But I just don't. I mean, you're starting to get really, really repetitive. And I remember one that I didn't write down now that initially I was really mad at it. But the more I think about it, I'm not sure that I am as mad at it as I thought it was. Because of the same Simpsons South Park reason. It was starting to get repetitive with the jokes. Like it was the
Which
same
was
joke. One of the ones I watched like fully was Two Broke Girls.
Oh, yeah. See, I fell off that train a couple years ago.
Well, I kept on that train. My friend Amanda, she did the same thing. She derailed that train like two or three years ago, she said. Because she said it then, and I didn't feel that way then. She was like, it's just the same jokes over and over. Yeah. But I was kind of getting excited because I felt like Max and Caroline were finally getting somewhere. I guess it's technically, they were just calling it season finale. They didn't know it was ending, but Max finally got her crap together and she got engaged.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
Did they ever make any money?
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted them to do was make money.
Yeah. They opened their, their cupcake window didn't go so great.
Right.
But then they made a dessert bar.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was doing pretty decent. And Caroline had a man.
Hmm.
Yeah. And
Welp.
Two fine men, by the way.
Well, of course.
Christopher Gorham.
I know what it was. The one where I'm like, seriously, really? Because it's about to start back. Fear of the Walking Dead.
Oh, my God. I agree. Jerry and I sat when it first came out, and we were like, okay, we are going to watch this one. And we watched episode one, and we were like,
wait. Did you hear The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking
Fear
Dead?
Fear the Walking Dead. Okay. No, I know you guys knew my story about me and Jerry trying to watch The Walking Dead. No,
right.
We decided we were going to watch Fear the Walking Dead because they said you don't have to have ever watched The Walking Dead.
Right.
Yes, it's a spinoff, but it's a prequel spinoff and it's all blah, 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 blah. So we sat down and we watched it. And episode one, we had some harsh critiques. And I'm pretty sure that both of us went to Facebook. We were like, all right, you know what? Sometime episode one, just not the thing. Needs growth. We watched two, and we didn't watch anymore. Purpose didn't watch anymore. And the fact that it is still going and it is being renewed, when I know a huge list of people that are like, why?
I'm a faithful Walking Dead fan, and
people that are saying, but why, are huge Walking Dead fans, and they don't want the show anymore.
Yeah, it was just never really a good idea.
It just wasn't a good,
I tried. I gave it a fair shot, but.
Well, I don't know if you don't understand that. I gave it a fair shot, but I gave it a shot.
Even when I watched it, I was like, I'm trying to like the show a lot, but it's not working.
Nope, I couldn't do it. Yeah. I remember seeing that now. Where I was like, why is it? Why? Another one that I only watched a couple of episodes of that I hate it or I love it, like, because I haven't watched all of it. But I'm not sure. I'm really surprised that Sci-Fi renewed it. Was the Wynonna Earp.
Yeah, I tried one episode of that and it was kind of meh.
I did too, and I was like, I'll probably watch you when you come to Netflix. It's not, I don't hate you, but I don't love you. And when you have the list of shows like this, you have to start cutting them back at some point.
Oh,
you just do. There's several that I really, really want to watch and I really wanted to get into, but it's like, I'm just going to have to wait until it's on Netflix, and then if it turns out to be great, then maybe something will go off my list. Another one that I'm like, why are you still going? Because I had stopped recording it. I watched like the first six episodes of season one and it was decent. It wasn't great. It was decent. And then I got behind and then I had heard it had been canceled. So I was like, you know what? I wasn't that invested into it. Whatever. I'm not even going to keep these however many episodes that I haven't watched. And that is the Shades of Blue on NBC with Jennifer Lopez.
Lopez? Oh, yeah. And what's his face?
Yeah, that's been in everything since
Days. Yeah. Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. I honestly thought that had already been canned.
Right? I always wondered why she did that anyway.
Well, she's
like,
not the
why
only...
does Jennifer Lopez need to go do a freaking cop show?
I don't think she needs to, but have you noticed she's not the only one that has that's higher grossing or bigger known that has come back and been like, well, I'm just going to do this on TV. Why not?
I think that's weird.
I mean, look at Jada Pinkett Smith. She was like, okay, let's do Gotham. Sure.
Mm.
She's Jada Pinkett Smith. She doesn't need to do Gotham. And I love
Nobody
Gotham.
Nobody does.
Shut your face.
Oh,
God. You guys are so fucking mean to me. And then, so that one, yeah, I was like, oh, okay, well, I thought you had already been canceled, so whatever. I was just looking through. There's some of these that I can't complain that they're being canceled because we've known. We were told, okay, this is only going to have 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Like Salem that I got really upset about. They knew when they started this. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end. We know how it ends already. So there's some of these that I'm like, I can't get mad because you told me a long time ago this was happening because there are definite points in the storyline. There are no... And I'm going to probably make a lot of people mad. How in the hell is Survivor still on television?
Oh, no. I just never really got that much into reality TV at all, but...
I'm not a huge reality TV fan either. We'll watch me some Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't in a few seasons, but I did this season because I know my dear sweet Grandpa Rossi from the Cubs, the World Series winning Chicago Cubs, was on there, and he almost took the Mirrorball Trophy, which was actually the one that Dancing with Stars has ever had a baseball player on, and he came in second. So that's pretty fantastic. But that's another one that for a while I was like, how are you still on television?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people still watch Survivor. That's like, a lot.
Survivor, Big Brother. Honestly, I'm going to say it. I'm going to, like, go against every female in the world. The Bachelor.
I don't watch The Bachelor.
How are they still going? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you how The Bachelor is still going. It's because I used to could tell you what night that came on. And do you know why I could tell you what night that came on? Because that's all that was on my Twitter or my Facebook for the whole freaking evening.
I'm judging you, listener.
I'm not judging you for watching this. I don't judge you for what you read or what you watch or what you listen to. I might make some snarky comments.
Exactly.
I am just saying these are a list of shows that I don't know how they are still on television.
They make a lot of money.
Apparently. But then there are really, really good shows that the majority of people really like. They get canceled. So far, it's safe to say that since you only had like 3 and I only had like 6, they're doing pretty good at the...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had more than that were canceled, but it's a lot of them, like Grimm. We were told it was being canceled.
Right.
Sleepy Hollow, again, told way in advance. Salem, like, hey, no, we're ending it. Orphan Black's another one that it's going to end, but they have said, like, we're pleased with the storyline and we want to end it in a specific way. So this is this is all the seasons you get. So a lot of mine that normally would be on that list and I would complain about, I can't because I knew you were getting canceled. Not canceled, but you were ending. There's a difference in a show ending and being canceled.
Right.
The problem is when it ends, they list it as canceled.
Right.
Which bothers me to no end. And then there's some on this list that I read the name. I heard of you, but I don't have any freaking clue what you're about or where you came from or that you were even still here.
Well, I mean, you're going to have that. And hopefully, maybe some of our listeners, you know, have some ideas about why they think some of the shows got canceled, or if they agree with us or not.
I'd love to know if they agree with us or not, or if they have one that was canceled that we didn't mention, like, because it's not one that... I mean, maybe we weren't. Read the entire list, so it's not that we don't know it's been canceled. It's just not one that we were like, this makes me angry, or this doesn't make me angry. But, yeah. And this came out this past couple of weeks, episode-wise, that... because I've kind of already talked about it with Jenny, so I'll spoil it. But the plan is, especially since it was one of our very first episodes, when the new fall lineup comes out and it's closer to time to watch those, we want to do a giant fall TV show like we did for you guys before.
We will.
So I don't want to go into too many of these and be like, oh, guess what? You're getting this. But
exactly, yeah.
I was reading it because everybody already knows this. That they have they're doing a lot of reboots lately, or continuations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And X-Files came out, 2 weeks ago now and said, hey, guess what? We're going to give you 10 episodes. Right. We're going to give you 10 more episodes. And they're not saying, we're going to keep going and keep going, but they all got together and said, you know what? We feel like we could give you 10 more. And I feel like even if they did these 10 more and then did no more, this is a show that they're always going to end it where you could be happy with that, or it's open-ended. It's both.
I would agree with that.
It's because of what it's about. There's always an open ending.
And there were some varying degrees of success with that last season.
I liked it, but that last episode of the last season was kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that's just... frankly, the worst crap they do, I will still like, because X-Files is just part of my heart. Yes. And then, notably missing from our entire podcast are the DC shows on the CW.
Yeah, just calm me out. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Which one of them are not caught up with all the finales that aired this week. So,
I'm more than not caught up on...
I was being nice.
I know you're being nice, but there's five episodes I have on one of them.
Girl, you better get woke about those episodes, because...
I kind of did this thing where I went and got a job.
Whatever. That's secondary to what we're talking about.
And actually, in the few weeks leading up to me knowing that I was possibly getting this job / starting this job, I poured all of my time into being at school and finishing up my room mom duties, because I knew this last week and a half of school I wouldn't be able to. And I also know that with having this job now, it's fifth grade, so yeah, I can probably be room mom next year, because they don't really ever want you there, but one day here, one day there. Mm-hmm. But I knew that this was my last push to be. I'm fixed, here in Enterprise, fifth and sixth grade are still elementary school, but for all intents and purposes, I have a middle grader there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some feels that are going with that.
Aww.
So while my CW shows are a huge part of my life, I was trying to take my last push of being that elementary school mom and being there for those elementary school events that I am about to no longer have in my life.
So is that your child is more important than these television shows?
I will go ahead and tell everyone in this world I'm going to get sappy. My child will probably always be more important than...
Well,
sometimes my child is more important than bathing, so...
You remember last time how we talked about you're a much better mother than me.
Don't agree with that one iota.
Okay. On one of those, it was not the last episode of Arrow, but the second to last, when this huge moment was happening and my kid came in the room trying to talk to me, I might have yelled at him to shut the hell up and leave me alone.
If it makes you feel better, I have looked at Kaden before and been like, can you just give mommy a second? Just 1 second. Just no. So that I could. But usually if I've done that, it's not only because I'm really into the episode. It's because mommy has been the only person that could do anything for him all day long.
All day, yes. Understood.
But yes, on a sappy note, my child will probably always come before, because I wasn't joking when
well,
I
obviously.
Said even bathing, because if you're a parent, father or mother, then you know that sometimes bathing doesn't happen.
Sometimes you gotta go skank for the kids. Wait. Back it up. That's not what I meant.
We knew what you meant, but still, that was funny. It was kind of like during one of my training days this week at work. The girl that's training me, her and I are, like, she's in Wisconsin. So yesterday something happened. And she was like, you know, I feel like if we lived closer, we would be good friends. And I was like, oh, for sure. I know we would be good friends. Because she forgot. She's not used to having, when she gets off call, she's off call. Well, because she was training me, her and I would call each other on Skype. So we were constantly connected to each other all day. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say our call yesterday was like 5 hours and something. Well, because at one point I was by myself doing stuff. But for a chunk, you know, these past few days, our calls have been like 5 hours long. So because we're connected on Skype. And then when we have to actually call someone for our job, we have a phone built into our computer that we use. And I would just mute myself so the person couldn't hear me, or she would mute herself and it would be my turn and they couldn't hear her. Well, she forgets sometimes that after we've hung up the call, there is still someone there. So she didn't like forget about me, but she kind of forgot. And when her coworkers in the day hear her, she said something and she was like, she said, she looked at her and was like, man, I've got something that's trying to fall out of my shirt. And she went, boobs. And I just started busting out laughing because I'm sorry. I don't care how old you are. Crap's funny.
Boobs are always funny. Boobs, all right. Butts, speaking of boobs, farting. Speaking of boobs, well, you know what time it is.
It is time for that, but I would really hope that my pick doesn't have boobs.
Sometimes my picks have boobs.
It's okay.
Let's be honest.
Let me rephrase that because that sounded really, really, really bad. What I'm trying to say is, because of who I've chose today, if they had boobs, that would be very weird. Just because you pick someone that does have boobs, that's not weird. It would be weird if this person had boobs. Oh, God. Just keep, every time you say boobs, it just... And this is why, children, there is an E for explicit next to Ginny and Miranda.
Yeah, because we say boobs, that's why.
Well, I said shaft last time.
Also, motherfucker.
Motherfucker comes out a lot. I said mother trucker earlier.
Yeah, that was weak.
It was funny, and it fit the moment, and you know it.
Well,
don't be getting all extra on me. The one and only time, folks, I will ever use this word is with Jenny.
Yes!
I love her. Yes! Otherwise, it is the stupidest fucking word in the world. You use it to say, can I have extra cheese on that, please? You use it to say, I need some extra underwear. You do not
Wait,
use
what?
It. Well, sometimes you gotta buy more underwear. When you go on a trip, you always pack, like, if you're going for a week, you take, like, triple the underwear. Given. So, yes, saying I need extra underwear. Come on now.
All right.
Okay.
What the shit? Do the thing.
Okay.
Do the thing. So...
There's going to be like 15 minutes of nothing but laughing. please.
Nobody's listening to us anymore. It's just me and you.
You and me and you, both of us together.
Right.
What is that from?
Your weird brain.
No, it's from something. Shit. Okay. And yes, my brain is weird. Thank you for noticing. So it's time for
nerd eye candy of the moment.
Okay, so who should have boobs?
No, he should not have boobs.
Okay, well, who should not have boobs?
Jensen Ackles.
Dean.
Dean.
He'd probably still be hot with boobs, let's be honest.
Why am I now picturing?
Right?
No, oh, it's still creepy. Hot. No, it's still creepy. It's creepy. It's creepy. Yeah, it wouldn't work. And this
That'll be one of their episodes soon, I'm
they
sure.
They are doing a crossover with Scooby-Doo, and I couldn't be fucking happier.
That's a great idea.
Isn't it?
I really like that idea.
I still really liked the idea. There was a joke going around the CW for a while that, oh, when the Vampire Diaries ends, let the Winchesters roll into town and be the reason why they end.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they couldn't have closed that show out any better than they did. That was some, like, hard-hitting feels. I had feels in that episode like I did in Marvel for various reasons, same reasons. But that would have been really funny if they'd thrown a, at the end, like, the Winchester's turn. Oh, shit. It would have been funny. It would have been funny. But you can never go wrong with a good old classic pick of Jensen Ackles.
I would agree with that.
Oh, Lord. He was my nerd eye candy before Stephen Amell. He's been my nerd eye candy for some time. So, yeah, I mean, I could literally sit here and just continue to talk about Jensen Ackles all day, but I don't think I should continue to sit here and talk about Jensen Ackles all day. Night? Evening? Yeah, evening.
Evening.
Good evening, Mother.
Well, almost early morning at this point.
Yes, yes. And I also think my husband would really like to get in here and play on the other computer, so...
Well, you know, he can hold his horses. That is a great pick, and...
That's a great pick.
I think he's pretty much universally beloved.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody be like, I hate that dude.
No, and even the people that, that are like Sam people, they still can appreciate a good D.
Right. Exactly. I appreciate that. They like the D.
I sure do.
All right. So I had some trouble coming up with my candy
first. I knew you would figure it out.
But then earlier I was talking about podcasts and I was like, oh yeah, I did watch Alien Covenant last week.
Oh yeah.
And Fassbender's in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he is excellent in that movie. He is extra in that movie. Literally, because there's two of them in that movie. He's literally an extra Michael Fassbender. Okay.
He is a beautiful, beautiful specimen.
He is extremely. And just, he does this thing where when I'm watching him, I'm just like, he's so good. Like, he's so good. And I can't figure out. I think it's because he doesn't blink.
Michael,
you know,
Michael Fassbender in Assassin's Creed.
That movie sucked balls. But
it didn't suck balls. You have no. Yeah. You never played any of the games. You don't know.
You're right. Yeah. I've never played any of the games, but as a movie.
A fan of the games.
Yeah, but aren't you supposed to still be able to, like, have a plot, like, in a movie, even if it's about a video game?
There is a plot.
It is ridiculous. But he was in it, so I had to watch it all because it was him, and that's how much nerd I he is. Is that? I mean, and that's another one of those dudes where even dudes are like, yeah.
Mm. He also back years ago, like 2004, 2005, something like that. Because you know, I like Agatha Christie a lot, and they have the Poirot series.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
he was on an episode of that.
It's fantastic. He talked about it in the Nerdist interview.
I see. I told you I hadn't listened to that one yet, but yeah, I remember because I love Poirot. I love Agatha Christie. So, and what's
all right,
not to like about Michael Fassbender.
Well, we didn't really get that dirty that time.
No. Well,
I'm tired.
We laughed for 15 minutes about boobs.
Yeah, that's true.
And end, before we do it again.
Yes, please. All right, so continuing off what we were talking about earlier as well, on our next episode, we will have, hopefully, Miranda, we will have some of our thoughts on the finales of the DC shows, because, boy, they were extra.
I feel like you're fixing to pull out my own self-created hashtag and make me and use it against me.
Never.
The one it's that a, I always
it's a joke now.
Use against the boys. Hashtag get your shit together. I feel like that's what you're saying to me.
About not watching the shows? Yeah, I am saying that. But you do have a good reason, so I can't hate on that. Okay. But, you know, we do have a podcast to do. And
I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. And who's usually more prepared for podcasts than the other?
I don't know. I would say we're equally prepared.
I have a giant book of notes over here and like a binder with printouts. And
Well, my bed is covered with comic books. Does that count?
It's research, so yes.
Research, yes. I should be able to write all this off, right?
I have a stack of research on my bedside table and a stack on my dresser in the spare room, and there's more on my desk.
The dining room in there and on the couch.
That is a good question. Be like, well, it's my business. It's my baby. Can I count all these?
Yeah, we don't get paid, though.
So? We're non-profit.
It's like, I don't get paid for this hobby I do, but can I write this shit off?
We are a non-profit organization.
All right, so our podcast will be, a huge chunk will be devoted to, 3 week late analysis of TV show finales, but it'll be fun. And
I feel like people still enjoy listening to us talk about things.
Hopefully so.
They tell me so unless they're lying to me.
So you can tweet me about boobs at Jenny Cruz, CRUZ 2814.
If you know how to, you can tweet boobs. And I don't mean actual pictures. You can make them with.
Oh, yeah. I can do that.
I can do that too. It's funny.
Or like, send me pictures of boobs. I don't know. Whatever.
I'm not sure if I want pictures of boobs or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I appreciate boobs. But
where can I tweet boobs to you at?
At Mom's a Nerd, like always.
Sweet.
Yeah. And you can tweet us together at Geek and Sassy, which usually you're probably talking to Jenny when you tweet us there. And on Instagram, same at Geek and Sassy, and you're probably talking to me, but.
See? We're a team.
We are a team. And no one has done it yet. I'm really disappointed.
Yeah.
Ask FM, because. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe people are like, I don't want to create an account. It's something different.
Oh, yeah.
I already have like 10 social medias. Like, how am I supposed to keep up with all this shit?
And plus, if I want to ask them something, I'll just go to Twitter. Or
well, I did it because I know we have a chunk of people that are not on Twitter. And then we have people that I thought maybe that would just the appeal of asking a anonymous question would be funny or fun or interesting. So, why not?
Maybe one day we'll get a bite.
Just one.
It'll be like, show me your boobs.
And I'll
be like, this is a podcast. Like,
and I'm going to be like, Jenny, stop putting fake food requests.
Damn it, you figured it out.
In our ask.
Well, thanks for listening.
And you're always welcome for talking.
Bye. Bye.